Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Tuesday morning to you, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning in today. Stockton is here as well. Hi, Stockton.
Hello.
Doing all right, man?
Yes, I am. Oh, good. Just admiring the windy weather that we're currently getting right now.
Yeah, wet and windy. And we had, I guess, a power outage in Mesquite, but we think it's over now. Is that what we're hearing?
So, I mean, someone can call in from Mesquite and tell us, but as far as I know, I'm going through the one of the power companies that service the area, OPD5, and they are saying that right now now it's saying it's still happening and 1,900 people are affected.
Okay.
So
that's pretty significant. A couple thousand people without power.
Yeah. So that does sound like a problem. I will admit.
The good news is it's not overly hot and it's not overly cold in Mesquite. So
yes.
It could be, you know, if it was 110 degrees today or if it was, you know, 32 degrees, and that would be a real problem. So
we were talking about how many people actually live in Mesquite, and you were saying around 15,000 or something like that.
I'm guesstimating. I could Google it really. Actually, I'm going to Google it real quick.
Okay. But yeah,
it's not a huge community.
It says here that there's only one outage, but it's still 1,900 people, and that's a little ridiculous. It's a shame that weather like this leads to situations like that.
By the way, 20,471. So I was close.
Gotcha.
20,000.
But yeah, it's a real shame that this kind of weather can lead to like such. I mean, you're right. The fact that it's actually like perfect weather out there, and so there's no need for your air conditioner to be blaring everywhere. It's not like we're in the middle of July.
Yeah. So, okay, about an hour ago, I got a text from today's scheduled guest.
Yes.
And she said, just to summarize, basically something came up and she could not make it today.
Yes.
And so I've been scrambling to get the show ready to go. So later on in the show, not sure when yet, but Dave Hyatt is going to come in. And we're going to talk a little bit about
radio commercials, essentially.
Controversial commercial? I don't think it is very controversial, but it's interesting. I've had people say, you know, that commercial kind of is on a sensitive topic about the predominant religion here in town. So, you know, I think here's my take before Dave gets here. We'll let Dave talk about it when he gets here. People are looking for a reason to get offended.
Yeah.
And if you listen to this commercial with that attitude, you'll be offended by the commercial.
Yeah.
But if you just look at the commercial and go, "Eh, that's kind of cute and funny and creative," I don't think you'll be offended. And for people that don't know the commercial I'm talking about, I will play it for you later. It's a Pepper, an animated Pepper voice.
Yes.
Kind of mimicking a missionary.
Yes. Talking about, let's just say, the plan of spiciness.
Plan of spiciness, yeah.
Yeah.
Or delicious. No, the plan of deliciousness.
Plan of deliciousness, that's right. How could I forget, even though we hear that commercial like five times a day at least?
Yeah. So we will talk about that a little bit later. I wanted to tell a little story about what happened to me the other night. So Friday night after I did a football game out in Hurricane, and still have a bad habit of stopping and getting a carbonated beverage on the way home from games. So
the fizz is right there.
I stopped at, I actually went to a Maverick
on
the way home.
There's
Dave.
All right.
Maybe I'll tell my story later.
Yeah.
Dave has a bandage or a wrap around his arm because I guess he was out there giving blood, Dave?
Well, giving my blood for a health, not for good reasons. I'm just for a health doctor thing.
Are you fasting?
Not
that's
now.
That's the first thing they ask you.
Now I loaded it up.
You were fasting, okay. Believe it or not, coincidentally, I actually have to give blood today too as well. And so I'm doing my fast from, I ate at 5 o'clock this morning, and then I'm going to go like at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So like an 8-hour fast there. Or whatever.
Nice.
5, 7, that's actually 9 hours. So, coincidentally, I will be wearing that exact same thing you have.
And then they check your blood pressure, and they're like, why is it high? You just stabbed me. That's why it's high.
Yeah. Why do you think it's high? You're stabbing me, and you've got cold metal things on my chest. And yeah. All right. Now, I wasn't ready for you to be here yet, so I don't have that commercial queued up. But I was going to play that commercial because I want people to hear and kind of have a reference to what we're talking about. So I'm looking. Here it is right here, I believe. If this is the right Angelica's commercial, let's give it a try. Yeah, here it is.
Hi, I'm Brother Serrano from Angelica's Mexican Grill, and I'm here to share a message for all the chilies throughout the world about the plan of deliciousness.
Don't you know that we jalapenos can be a bit spicy?
That's you right there.
That's why our message is so important. Would you like to know how to get to salsa heaven?
I was always told I would end up in some burning place.
No, the truth is that in salsa heaven, there are three levels of spicy. Would you like to know more?
Along with amazing Mexican street food like burritos, quesadillas, and the quesabirria, Angelica's Mexican Grill has the best salsa bar featuring the tastiest and freshest salsa under heaven and earth.
So, you see, if you reach your true spicy potential, you could end up at Angelica's.
I like what you guys are teaching, and I feel a burning deep inside.
Favorite line.
Oh, wait. That's probably because I'm a pepper.
Angelica's Mexican Grill, downtown at 101 East St. George Boulevard.
We'll bring the inner Mexican
There's
out
Angelica
of you.
Right there, yeah.
I just love how he... that whole part where he's like, it's probably because I'm a pepper. It's just the most Dave line I have ever heard in my life, so, and the way he says it.
So Dave, first of all, and we talked about it before you got here, if you go into that, if you're one of those people that wants to be offended, that's looking to be offended, you could be offended by that commercial.
Okay, here's what happened.
All right.
Jack wanted a new commercial. Now, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. Very devoted, devout, faithful member.
Didn't you serve at the temple this morning?
No, I didn't, but my brother does. But anyway, so I thought, I just got into that creative mode, you know?
Sure.
And I'm thinking of his salsa bar and the three levels, and I just started typing it out. And then when I finished, I sent it to Jack, and then I thought, oh, no. What have I done? Like, I can't put this genie back in the box.
But Jack loved it at that point, right? He was like, oh, yeah.
There was no stopping it. Now I put the train in motion, and I was like, oh, I hope this doesn't come off as, should I have done this?
I mean, I remember when right before you put it out, you were editing it, and you actually showed me the commercial, and I was, like, dumbfounded, not in, like, an offended way, just because I was like, that's just Dave doing Dave things again.
It's good.
That's just Dave and his St. George topper ads on steroids, essentially.
So being a devout member of the church, Dave, could you maybe see that there would be some people that would go,
That's exactly what I was worried. Here's what I was worried about. People would perceive it as somebody who is trying to dig. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to. And so I told Jack and I told Ike here, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Really think about this. So Ike, he took it to a council meeting, if you know what that is.
Really? Yeah.
He's like, everybody was good with it. Everybody was good.
This was before it ever aired?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. There's a screening process.
Send it out.
Now, I have a friend who is not a member of the church.
Yeah.
Who was offended for me. He heard the commercial, and he's like, I can't believe they're making fun of you that way. And, of course, he didn't know who made the commercial. He didn't know anything about it. He had just heard the commercial, and he was offended. So let me ask you this, Dave. If someone had made this commercial who was not a member of the church, would it feel like they were making fun of the church to you?
I think possibly, yeah. That was really when I was like, oh, I don't know, Jack. You better think about this. But I was just having fun. I'm sorry if it does.
I don't, honestly, I've talked with a couple, texted with a couple of listeners, and they're cool with it. They're like, you know what, I could see someone being upset about it, but I'm not, and I think it was pretty funny and creative.
It makes me laugh that he thinks he's going to a burning place.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and a burning feeling inside. And I got to ask you, the voices. How did you do that? Did you just? I've never done.
It's probably just a filter in audition, right?
Yeah, I just took it up a couple notches to
you just
like
go
I do
time and pitch, and you just raise
done
the
so
pitch
many
a little bit.
Elf commercials during Christmas. Yeah, that's basically true. It. Yeah. But yeah, the other voice is Ike. That's Ike. Who's
that's Ike. Okay. Ike and then Jack in the middle talking about his restaurant. So. Yeah. Very cool.
You'll notice the filter Jack has on is called Jack Lancaster. Makes anyone sound like Jack Lancaster.
The Lancaster filter. Well, Dave, thanks for clearing that up. And I honestly, I'm not offended. I think there are some people out there that are going, what are these guys doing? But I think it's funny. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, right?
Hopefully.
By the way, Dave used to be a stand-up comedian back in the day.
Yeah, I did.
Really? I didn't know that.
How was that? How long did you do that?
That was fun. So we started in college. We just had a little...
We, meaning you and John.
Me and my brother, And there was a little college circuit. I actually had another brother we were involved. He kind of dropped out. He didn't like the stress. And then after college, we went down and we did L.A. We went to the Comedy Store and just the live mic where they let you audition. Open but mic, they liked us a lot. And it just didn't seem like the life I could raise a family.
Oh, yeah.
Were you like the Smothers Brothers, you know, kind of the back and forth?
Yeah, it was
kind of
like that. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So then I had gotten a job. We actually, my father-in-law advertised for the radio station. He asked me to do his ads, and I did some funny ads for him, and the radio station thought it was great, and so that's how it all started.
I have told the story on the air here about how you, apparently your family was at like a singing group. And, your dad came to you one time and said, how about you and John don't sing, but you're the funny guy.
I don't know why it happened. My dad's a Capitol recording artist. He was a member of a group called the 3Ds. They toured. They had albums, some hits. And he did a family singing group. And I got a ton of brothers and sisters. They can all sing, but me and John got skipped with that gene. And it was so frustrating for him. He's like, you're pitchy. No, now you're flat. You're pitchy. Can you not hear that? And finally he's like, okay, you're in charge of the comedy parts. You just sing quiet.
Like being a member of the Osmonds, but no singing, okay? Lip sync or something.
And that's what we did. So we were in charge of coming up with all the comedy parts, and then we just took it on to that after that. So, there you go.
See, my family's the exact opposite. We have we're all like singers and stuff like that, except for like my oldest brother. And it's so funny because my dad is like, my dad and mom are just like, you are going to sing. It doesn't matter if what you sound like, you are going to sing. And then my brother comes up with the most creative acts imaginable. Like, it's insane. He made like a homemade bluegrass band for one of our,
Brother, Nate. I mean, he's the only one I've heard sing, but he's super talented. He played, who was he? The Phantom of the Opera. He was the Phantom?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Dave, if people want to listen to Dave in the mornings, you're on Star?
Star 98, John and Dave in the morning.
So what time?
Seven. Utah's number one variety station.
6 to 10.
6 to 10. Okay. So you're on right now?
Oh. Yeah, but we're in our music suite, so it's just really quick.
Dave Hyatt. Thank you, Dave, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Love you, Dave.
This morning. All right, back to my story now. I had a story I was telling, and Dave showed up, which was fantastic because we asked him to come in and talk about the commercial. But, okay, so I'm on the way, my way home from doing my ball game. It's 10 o'clock at night.
You're getting a soda at the Maverick.
I stopped at Maverick.
Yeah.
And as I'm leaving the store, drink in hand, ready to jump in my truck and come home, this lady stops me. She says, are you're not by chance going to St. George, are you? Remember, I'm in Hurricane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, at this point, so homeless person asking me for a ride, we're not that far from PCF, Purgatory Correctional Facility, right?
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I'm like, gosh, do I want to expose myself to the possibility of this? And so all these things are going through your head in split second time. I mean, this is real time, right?
Yes.
Are you going to St. George? I'm not going to lie to her and say, no, I'm not going to St. But I did for a second contemplate, well, yeah, but I'm kind of in a hurry. I can't take anybody, whatever, you know, but just make an excuse to not take her. But while all that's going on in my head, I'm also looking at this lady and evaluating her. Is she a threat? Is she kind of dirty and gross? Is she, you know, and so all this is going through my head, and I want to be a charitable guy. I want to be a nice guy, right? But I'm not sure, you know, every homeless person is necessarily really in need. But in this case, I looked at her, I evaluated her, I went through all that in my head, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to St. George. You want to ride? And she said, oh, could I? And I said, yeah, hop on in. So she had two backpacks, and I'm like, yeah, no big deal, right? Throw your backpacks in the back seat. And she goes, the rest of my stuff is over by the tire meter thing, whatever that is. And I'm like, okay. She goes, do you mind picking that stuff up? We'll go get that stuff, the rest of my stuff. And I'm like, it's not a big deal. I had a truck. We'll just throw it in the back, whatever. And we go over there. She has three full-size suitcases, another four or five knapsack backpack type things and a couple of things in plastic bags. And I'm like, okay, what did I just get myself into? But on the other hand, I'm thinking to myself, okay, strange, mentally unstable homeless person wouldn't have, these were real suitcases. These were not, you know, shopping cart type stuff.
Or like the hiking backpacks that you see a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, these were real suitcases. And yeah. I was like, okay then. So we load her up. We get in the truck and start headed toward St. George. And then she goes, as we're 30 seconds into the ride, hey, do you mind taking me to the truck stop in Bloomington? Which, if it was you, you live in that area.
Yeah.
Would have been perfect. For me, I live in Middleton. Yeah, Bloomington is way out of the way.
Yeah.
And so I told her, I said, man, that's way out of the way, but I guess I can, because I'm a nice guy, right? And she said, I said, but I'm going to need something from you. And she looked at me, she's like, what? And I said, I'm going to need to know a little more about your story. I don't want to just sit here in a truck for 20 minutes with a lady that I know nothing about. And so she told me, and it was quite puzzling to me a little bit. Her name was Catherine. She was, I haven't given her, I would put her at 65-ish. She was gray-haired and wrinkled, and maybe even a little bit older than 65. And her, I mentioned her luggage, she it wasn't homeless luggage. This was like a regular person who was traveling.
Yeah.
Although with a lot of stuff. In fact, I said, is this all you own on Earth? And she says, yeah, this is everything I have. And anyway, I got talking with her, and she said she was in the Navy for quite a few years. And then when she left the Navy, she got on as a paralegal in Hawaii and lived in Hawaii for most of her life. But she's originally from Montana. And so at this point, I'm like, okay, why is she, what's going on here? I don't understand why she's by herself traveling in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, she said she had no kids, no husband, no family really to speak of. Her parents are dead now. And I said, well, what were you doing in Hurricane? And she said, well, so funny story, and it wasn't funny, but a funny story. She said, I had some friends that I had made that live now out in Hurricane. And I asked him if I could come and stay with him because I want to get back to Montana where I grew up. And she said, Hurricane was a place where I could stop off and stay with these friends. She said she got there to her friend's house with all her stuff, and they were in the midst of a humongous fight. They were just yelling and screaming at each other. And finally, this fight culminates with the wife saying, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. She gets in her car and leaves. And so she's there with this guy about her age in this house after this gigantic fight going, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And so she said, well, I didn't feel like I could ask him if I could stay there because it was really awkward. So she somehow, I don't know how she did it. It was about a mile to this Maverick. She had all that baggage and luggage and everything and hauled it to the Maverick. And that's where I met her, and she wanted to ride to the truck stop. And I guess her ultimate goal was to find a trucker who was stopping at that truck stop that was on his way to Montana or at least to Salt Lake that she could hitch a ride with. So I took her in. I said, I feel bad. I don't really have any cash to give you, but can I buy you something to eat or something? I don't know where you are financially. She said, yeah, I could use a Pepsi and some chips or something. So I took her in and bought her a little bit of food and stuff, but. So a weird, I've come across a lot of homeless people, a lot of people down on their luck in my life, but no one like her. This was a very strange deal.
So Andy, you're not going to believe me when I say this.
No, uh-uh. What?
I met her on Saturday.
Catherine?
Yes.
Really?
I am not joking. So remember how I mentioned that I mentioned once on one of the shows last week that I was going on a date?
Mm-hmm.
It was Catherine. No, I'm just kidding. So
no, that would be really weird.
But no, quite sure. Yeah, exactly. But so I was going on this date. Very wonderful girl. Mm-hmm. Really good friend of mine. And I pick her up from her place. And there's all I knew that it was just her and her mom that were staying in this one bedroom apartment over in Bloomington. And that's I go there and I pick her up like a good date, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And she opens the door and there's someone sleeping in the bed. And it's not her or her mom. And so she's like, I got something to tell you. It's crazy. And so, and there was a bunch of luggage.
A bunch.
There's a bunch of luggage in the little one bedroom apartment. And this girl tells me about how she found Catherine and how she lived in Hawaii. And basically she's trying to get somewhere. And apparently the girl, and I didn't know this about this, about her, and she's a good friend of mine. They often will like pray about whether or not they should help out this homeless person. And they decided to let this person stay for a few days.
Really?
At their place.
Wow.
So isn't that crazy?
That is the weirdest coincidence.
Isn't that the weirdest coincidence
so this
ever?
This was Saturday? This so was the day Saturday. After I gave her
yeah,
the ride?
Yeah, the day after you gave her the ride. And where did you drop her off?
To Bloomington.
Bloomington, which is
Y&J
where.
Or whatever it is.
So that is exactly where she picked her up.
Wow.
Because she was apparently she was trying to get to the temple for some reason or another. I don't know why, but. Yeah, she had a ton of luggage, and my friend helped her out, and now she's, I don't know how, if she's still staying there, but she said she could stay for a few days to get everything figured out, but she looked exhausted, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't look that exhausted when I saw her, but it's hard to say because you don't know people, but I will say this, she did not look like a homeless person.
Well, exactly, and so that's what I thought, too, when I saw her, and so I was like, man, that's so wild. Sorry, that's a wild coincidence. I had to mention that.
Very strange coincidence. Very strange happenings. I hope Catherine's okay. I really did feel I really did feel like I had this great urge to do something more for her.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what. And, you know, I mean, I bought her a meal. You know, I bought her some food and stuff. That was about it. And I gave her a ride. But I got home, told my wife about it, and she's like, you know, you would have yelled at me if I would have given a homeless person a ride. And I'm like, well, first of all, this was a 65-year-old woman. And second of all, she wasn't your typical homeless person. She didn't have dirty clothes and crazy hair and crazy eyes and all that stuff. And I still probably would have yelled at my wife. She's right. All right, we got to get a break in. I do want to talk for just a second about Ducrest Monument Company. Now, let me get to the right page here so I can make sure I say the right stuff. There we go. So the Ducrest Monument Company is a local monument company that offers this idea that, okay, so if you lose a loved one, obviously, very sad, very distraught, and when you go to the funeral home, you're like, yeah, whatever, just do whatever we want to, we don't care, just make it work out nice. And that's understandable, but, you know, you can buy a monument independent of the funeral home. And you can even buy a monument in advance of anyone dying. For instance, my wife and I had a headstone, a monument made for the two of us with Ducrest Monument Company. And it looks incredible. I hope some of you got to see it at the home show. Our names are on it. Fortunately, just the birth dates so far, not the death dates yet. We got it done at the Ducrest Monument Company. Now, we got a cool deal going. First of all, I want to give out their phone number. It's 435 area code, and then it's 435 area code, and then 962-2879. 962-2879. The Ducrest Monument Company wants to give you a deal. Okay, so you know those monuments cost anywhere from, you know, $2,800 to $5,000, depending on what it is you want and everything. Well, if you mention when you go into the Ducrest Monument Company that you heard about them on the Andy Griffin Show, they'll give you 10% off right now. That's, say you want a $5,000 monument, one of them really fancy, nice ones, right? That's $500 off. That's a pretty cool deal. Now, their website is DucrestMonument.com, DucrestMonument.com. You can read all about their different monuments. You know what? You can buy a stone sign that doesn't even go on a grave. If you wanted to maybe have a stone sign for your yard or your business, it's all there at the Ducrest Monument Company. Again, that phone number is 962-2879, 435-962-2879. 2879, and you can get 10% off. All you have to do is say, hey, I heard about this on the radio, and they'll give you 10% off. Ducrest Monument Company is AG approved.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. It's Tuesday, 9:36 on KDXU. Thank you for tuning into the program. I found this fascinating. There's a cool story on the dailyeconomy.org, one of the haunts that I go to and read about. But it's about birth rates. Now, today is, and this was on the wire this morning, today is actually the anniversary, is that the right word, I guess, the anniversary of China doing away with the one-kid rule. In 2015, China announced they were putting an end to the one-child-only policy it has been enforcing for more than three decades, since 1975, by the way. The state news agency reported that the Communist Central Committee has approved plans to allow all couples to have two children. So that was in 2015. 6 years later, they announced that they would allow all Chinese couples to have three children. So they can have up to three kids now as the Chinese. Now, it's interesting as a party and as a country, as a communist party, that they would limit the number of kids they were having. But, I mean, you do the math, and they were overrun, and they had too many people, and China was, I mean, what is it, two-thirds of the world's population is Chinese or something like that. But they put the limit in because they were worried about overpopulation, which would lead to famine and, of course, pollution. And then they realized that they had done something, the unintended consequences, maybe. The population of China for after that rule, the next generation or two or three after that, the population of China would go down. And they were like, okay, maybe we overdid it a little bit. But the truth of the matter is the population in the entire world is going to start going down here in the next about two decades. In the United States, back in the 1960s, the average birth per woman, per adult woman, was four. The average woman had four children. The average birth rate Stockton right now, 2024, per woman is 1.7.
Really?
And that's bad. That is quite a change. But listen to some of these other countries. China, this is the birth rate now. So basically the ratio. So for every one person who is born in China, 1.2 people pass away.
Oh.
So basically their population is shrinking. They're not the worst. Jamaica is 1.3. Italy is 1.2. And basically, like I said, that means that more people are dying than are being born in those countries.
Mm.
Crazy. And it's funny. There's a story written from a scientist about it. She is a physicist and a scientist who has eight children. Oh. And they asked her, they said, don't you think you writing about the birth rate is a little bit of a conflict of interest or some kind of, weird little, how dare you kind of a thing? And she says, no, I'm the thing I'm studying, I'm living proof that there's a problem and we need to fix it because women are choosing not to have kids. They give three reasons why women are choosing not to have kids in the free world. Not talking about China, not even the free world. The three reasons are economic, let's see, material advantages. Basically, it's cheaper to not have children. The rapid rising opportunity costs of having children. In other words, women and their careers. You can't get ahead in your career if you take 9 months of maternity leave or whatever. And the costliness the rapidly rising costs of having children as far as your own financial, so that the finance of having the children, but also the combining with all of that is the lowering cost, the cheaper cost of contraception, of women choosing not to have children has actually become pretty cheap to choose to not have children. So I was going to ask Stockton here, who is not married, doesn't have kids yet, but I'm sure you're hopeful someday you will have children.
Yes, but that's the funny thing. I'm like, I can't see myself having three kids.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe it's just because I am, like, compared to my siblings, I'm not dating anyone right now. I'm not. And I mean, I have no idea when I'm going to get married and have kids. I have no idea. I know for, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like 30 or something, like in my 30s if I get married. When I get married.
When? Positive thinking.
when I get married. And I want to be able to be able-bodied for my kids' lives.
That's a good argument.
And so it's just, unless my wife is significantly younger than me and is able to make up where I lack, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be there at their side, helping them in every way possible, and I want to be able-bodied to do that.
I know that sounds kind of silly and selfish or whatever. It's not. I can tell you right now, if I were to try to raise a kid right now, 58 years old, with all the health problems that I've had and everything, I would not be able to be the kind of dad I was 30 years ago.
I want to be like my dad. My dad was there for everything, and which is insane because he was a surgeon who was on call every other day, and he would come home at 2 a.m, exhausted, and he would get up like 3 hours later to go and save another life. And yet he still made it to like my T-ball game. That's insane. And so I want to be able to be like that. And
the other factor too, if you're say 30 when you get married and your wife is 30 as well, how do I say this without being rude? Her childbearing years are not going to be very long.
That the advantage of being a man compared to being a woman in that regard is men don't really have much of a, you know, they usually have ammo in the chamber.
Yeah, there's not much decline as far as the effect.
Yeah, but the gun it's loaded into tends to deteriorate. Thank you.
and the idea, you know, my son is in the same boat as you. He is 33 now, and he's not married, and he wants to have kids. He really does. Yeah. He says, Dad, if I marry a girl my age, we might get one or two in before the risks are outweigh the benefits. He's, you know, a woman over the age of 35 having children, the risks of having a child with autism or the child with any kind of birth defect go way up exponentially. And he's like, I would rather marry a girl who's in her mid-20s, knowing that then I got maybe 10 to 15 years instead of 5 to 7 years, you know, to have children.
That's interesting, because my mom was past 35 when she had me.
Well, that explains everything. I'm just kidding.
Ouch.
One of the other factors.
Wow.
One of the other factors in this article I was reading talks about the fact that, so children used to, when we grew up, you know, generations before ours, you grew up on a farm. You grew up.
Yeah.
Maybe your dad ran the general store.
Your family had like a trade.
Your kids, even when they were as young as 5 and 6 years old, they were helping out on the farm. They were milking the cows or whatever, you know, getting the eggs from the hens.
It was like a family effort. It wasn't just one guy.
And now you look at children that are born to, you know, your dad's a surgeon. My dad was a college professor and school teacher. I wasn't much of a benefit for my dad, you know. I didn't carry on the family business.
I'm not playing. I'm not the guy. My dad's not going scalpel, and I'm the one handing him the.
With
my Bobby, like
there probably wouldn't be. There would be some unhappy people that are getting surgery if you were there in the room. But that's another factor that they talked about. The reason for the decrease in the number of children is children financially, besides what it costs to raise them, they're not actually contributing at all to the family coffers, as it were.
That's a great point.
Like they were in previous generations. So, kind of fascinating story. Again, the website is thedailyeconomy.org. I don't know anything else about this website, except occasionally I find some really cool stories. And this one is a story called A PhD in 8 Kids. And, I think that's kind of cool, PhD in 8 Kids.
There is some small cases of kids still contributing to their family's livelihood.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's not what you think. Most of the time when it happens, they're millionaires. Think of Ryan. Do you know who Ryan is?
Ryan?
Ryan is a little YouTuber who reviews toys. He doesn't review toys. He just plays with them.
Really?
And
so he's a little kid?
He was. He's now, like, I believe, like 12 or 13. Okay. But he made millions.
Wow, just by playing with toys.
Just by playing with, because basically people, the toy companies would be like, people are watching this kid. So, here, take our toys.
Yeah.
Play with our toys. Play with our toys.
If and Ryan so, likes it, you got to buy it.
Those parents are set for life because Ryan freaking knew how to play with toys.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And there certainly there are other, you know, business owners
who
integrate their kids into what it is they do. But you know, I don't personally know too many farmers or ranchers that, you know, their kids are out working the fields at, you know, at 7 years old or whatever. Those have kind of, they're rare. They're not gone, but they are certainly rare. All right, 9:47 on KDXU. Do want to talk for a minute about Angelica's Mexican Grill. We played their commercial earlier, but I can tell you Angelica's is AG approved now. Angelica's, besides having a controversial pepper commercial, is just a great sponsor. They've been AG approved since its inception. 5 years ago, Bart came to me and said, hey, let's do something called Andy Griffin approved. And I was like, what would that be? And he said, well, so you'll take a product or a restaurant or whatever it is, and if you like it, if you kind of like Ryan, the kid with the toys, if you like it, then, well, you can endorse it and let people know that it is a quality product. And over the course of the years, I've had several clients, you know, salesmen have come with me to me with clients that wanted to do an AG approved, and I toward their facility or whatever, and I said I don't feel comfortable putting my name on that. But I can tell you this, Angelica's Mexican Restaurant, I did my due diligence, baby. In fact, I do my due diligence every week at Angelica's, eating their food. Such good food. Angelica's, of course, is run by Jack and Angelica, and it's authentic Mexican food. Angelica is a naturalized U.S. citizen. She took the test. She did all the things. She took all the steps correctly to become an American, and she is proud to be an American, but she does not surrender her Mexican roots. In fact, her recipes come right from Mexico, from her and her family's recipe books, and the food is so good. You get your quesadilla, and you've got your mulitas, and you've got your street tacos and your burritos, and of course that three levels of deliciousness at the salsa bar as well. It's Angelica's Mexican Grill. They're at right downtown, 101 East St. George Boulevard. Check them out online, angelicasmexicangrill.com. Angelica's is AG approved.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show. I want to catch up on some texts. We were talking earlier about that pepper commercial for Angelica's, where the pepper kind of, the commercial kind of makes it sound like he's a missionary for the Church of the Levels of Deliciousness anyway, and that some people may choose to be offended if they're looking for it. But, all right, so some comments. First of all, this text, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as well as having served a two-year mission, I smile every time the ad comes on. It's not making fun of the church's message, but rather a harmless play on a very common ground many in the community share. I truly believe God has a sense of humor. If not, heaven is going to be boring. I like that. That's a good text. Okay. Roy says, funniest darn commercial he has done next to the bear commercial for St. George Topper. And I am very LDS. I agree with that one. If you have not heard the bear, you've probably heard the bear commercial. It's been on the air for a couple of years. But
that's another Dave ad.
I thought we were going elk hunting. We are, but right now that bear is hunting us.
Yeah,
another Dave commercial. Very funny. And then, let's see, Jan comments. Let's see. As Latter-day Saints, we have always laughed at ourselves. Green Jello Baptist at my barbecue. That's all good humor. Making light of the rituals, that would be a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the commercial brings back sweet memories of the two who bravely knocked on my door. Very nice. And then Jan also commenting on the baby thing and the age of having babies. She said, my second marriage was age 40. I gave birth to two beautiful daughters at the age of 43.
Fantastic.
I was the oldest pregnant woman on Mother's Day at church. I loved every second of those last two pregnancies. My doctor tried to scare me out of it. I changed doctors. Way to go, Jan.
Wow.
I love that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's rocking.
All right. I wanted to talk a little bit about advertising while we're on the subject of advertising. And I think maybe Stockton, you have a different take than me. But as a person who's obviously grown up watching commercials and been involved in the mainstream world, you kind of take it for granted that the commercials, what's a good word for it? Exaggerate slightly.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it is they're advertising. If you see a picture of a perfectly coiffed double cheeseburger, you know, and it's upright and the cheese is perfectly melted and the lettuce is all perky.
It's all fake.
Yeah. And my brother, having been, you know, involved in advertising as the camera person and producer for years and years, he says, you wouldn't believe this stuff. You know, these are not edible. These things you see on these commercials,
100%.
They spray acrylic on them and they did. He said, you would not want to eat, you would die if you ate one of these things. He said, but the idea is to get them to look good.
Exactly. You're never going to find a Big Mac that looks that good on TV.
No, it ain't gonna happen.
It ever. You're never. And also, yeah, you're never gonna find cereal that gushes out of the milk when you pour it in like that. Because guess what that milk is? It's glue.
Yeah.
That's an actual thing. Yeah, they use glue instead of milk to make it look more appetizing.
It's true. So anyway, there was a lawsuit that was drawn up yesterday, filed yesterday, about Subway sandwiches advertising that the meat in their commercials is three times as much meat as you actually get on your Subway sandwich. And so I kind of wanted to get your take on this. So when I watch a commercial for Subway or Burger King or McDonald's or whatever it is, I assume that the actual product I get is not going to look as good as the one that I see.
Oh, 100%.
On TV.
I never expect that.
But this lady who filed this lawsuit, and it's a class action lawsuit, so anybody who's ever eaten a Subway, which I think is everyone, could get in on this lawsuit and get some money if she wins the lawsuit, claiming again that Subway is advertising that three times as much meat and cheese as you get on an actual Subway sandwich. Now, as a younger person, different generation to me, you're half my age, do you assume when you see a commercial for food that, yeah, it's not going to be as cool as it looks?
When I was a kid, there was actually a point where I was disappointed that it didn't look like the commercial, specifically with shakes and stuff. You go to Dairy Queen and their shakes looked different from what they showed on TV, because the TV one, they're like overflowing with candy, those blizzards, you know what I mean? and then you go and get that, and it's boring. It's just a shake, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the only thing that they keep from the commercial is the part where they dip it upside down, which I don't think they do anymore.
That is no longer policy. Yeah. In fact, I asked about that, and because it used to be, wouldn't you get it free or something, or a dollar off if they didn't flip
something like that.
The blizzard or whatever it was?
Something like that.
Yeah,
it was the same like Domino's. Like if you don't get it in 30 minutes, it's free.
Oh yeah, yeah, that
aged well.
Yeah, I didn't.
But I've from that point onward, I never expected it to look good. I just expect it to fill my craving, and that's it.
and if it's close. I mean, if it tastes good, and even though it may not look like the commercial, you're like, yeah, that's okay. I can deal with
that. But when you're dealing with, like, what this woman's saying is that's three times more meat and three times more cheese in the commercial than what you actually get, then that's actually something that would affect, you know, what you expecting to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Funny enough, though, with Subway, you could also just order extra that stuff, but that's going to cost you a lot more.
Pay a few more dollars and get more cheese and meat. But my take on it is, look, lady, it's a commercial.
Yeah.
How can you possibly say how much meat there is on your screen anyway? You don't have no proof of how fat the bread was. And so for me, it's like, you know what? Did you like the sandwich or not? If you don't like the sandwich, don't go there anymore.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. Don't file a lawsuit.
I'll be honest. Subway stinks.
They have a couple things I like, but yeah.
Every now and again,
if I'm getting a sandwich, I'll go to Ike's or Jersey Mike's or something.
Oh yeah, like that. I think they're well because I mean, I just don't like my sandwich to taste like rubber.
I have someone here texting asking about the power outages in Mesquite. Did you get any kind of update yet on
when I checked at 8:45 at 9:45 it was still happening. It's looking like it's still happening.
So we think about 1,900 houses without power in Mesquite.
According to OPD5, which is the power company that is provides service in that area, 1,976 customers are affected with an unknown cause. Looks that window.
unknown cause is scary because if they know the cause, they can fix it, even if it takes time. But unknown means, we got to figure out where the problem is.
As far as I know, and this website constantly updates. So
that's roughly 10% of the city of Mesquite is without power right now.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like I said, the good news is we are, at this point, the weather is okay. I mean, it's not too hot, it's not too cold. So you might be without your internet or your TV for a little while, but at least you're not freezing to death or burning up.
Exactly.
So there's that. All right, this has been the Andy Griffin Show. Apologize again, we had a guest scheduled. She texted me about an hour before the show and said, I got some problems, I got to take care of some things, I can't make it today. So, We will carry on. We soldiered on. And thank you so much for listening today. Stockton, thanks for your help, as always, my friend.
Yep.
We'll be back tomorrow. Jack Lancaster on the show with me tomorrow morning.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.